Marilyn Boyce is a carer and she teaches creative writing to carers. I asked her how she came to be involved in the caring role.
I started my caring life back in the 1950s. From about the age of 9, Mum was struck down with a mental illness and periodically went away to Porirua Hospital for bouts of ECT. My older sister, Carol, at that stage had started work. She was about 17, 16, going on 17. So, and Dad couldn't stay home from his job, so I was the one who, when Mum was getting worse, going downhill into depression or uphill into her bipolar high, who I was the one who mainly stayed at home during the weeks leading up to the hospital.
You were only 9 years old. It started, I remember very strongly, starting when I was 9. I remember the men in white coats coming to the door and Mum clinging to me. She was in her green candlewood dressing gown. It's just such a memory, and it stayed with me, and also the power of the, you know, the specifics of remembering the feel of her dressing gown and the colour of it and her fear as she was led away.
And how long did you care for your mother?
Well, until, I suppose, I had a decade of strong caring up until the age of 19 when I went away to Teachers Training College and I had to go away to Christchurch. I had to leave the North Island and travel in big boats out, and that was my breaking point from the most intensive caring period of my life with Mum.
So it was kind of like a way of life, really, in your family, was it?
But you see, that is very interesting, because as children, yes, we are so, well, we have to become familiar with what it is that's around us, don't we? We haven't got the power to change a lot, so it was just accepting what it is in a child's way and not really questioning a lot. And I found that the teachers at school, and that stage was perhaps in the 50s and 60s, and the teachers seemed to accept I was in a Catholic school situation. The nuns were very caring. They were always asking after Mum. They seemed to accept that I needed to stay home, so it'd be a bit different today. And Mum used to worry, though, that the social welfare van would appear at the end of the street, and she would be thought to be an unfit mother, so we did sort of keep a lot to ourselves, a lot quiet. We were very quiet. The loyalty factor was huge. We didn't have a large extended family to help out. There were periods when it was very scary. My sister and I were sent away to an orphanage at one point. We didn't know. We thought Mum had died, because that's what the word orphanage meant to us. And that was when I was just before I turned.
And so now you look after your sister.
Yes, it is interesting that, yes, well, I suppose carers will probably understand this one. Once a carer, very hard to shake the coat off in a way. It becomes very part of one's being, and I was able to do that work when it was needed with my sister in her middle years. She also has needed intermittent caring for me. And I've actually moved back to the North Island to be closer to her just the last 6 months. I was in Nelson for a few years before that.
Now, one of the ways that you've coped with your caring role through the years has been writing poetry and other kinds of writing. How did that happen? How did you discover that? How
I was encouraged to do essays and things like that at school and was thought to be good at them. I suppose I started writing on concrete, you know, little shape poems. I didn't know they were called shape poems back then when I was 9, 10, 11 years old, but getting a bit of chalk, what was at hand, and out on the back porch, doing myself a hopscotch shape, and as well as playing in the shape and along the path with my sister, I actually wrote words and shapes. Felt they were just amazing. It was amazing to be able to do that. And I've just got one in front of me now that I wrote back then, which said, "Can't do sums, missing mum, not much fun." And that fitted into that hopscotch, and that was done at about, I think, age 10, when I just really, because I'd had so much time off school that year, couldn't get the hang of fractions, let alone percentages, and I just missed a whole chunk out of mathematics, which has never actually been
school. If it was in English, it might have been missed, but it wasn't in mathematics.
And that was a chalk on the pavement.
Yes, so I think the thing of using what is at hand, when we think about carers and often the extremities that we are in, and looking at searching around for something at hand. These days, I will use the back of an envelope. Always got something in my purse, a pencil, a bit of a stub of a pencil or a pen. And then it was the chalk. It was something at hand. It was also something that was erasable. And I do think carers maybe will nod to this one, that with the loyalty we feel to our family members and the intense sense of that, and that really saying anything, breaking the silence, is in some ways a disloyalty. Then to be able to, and I remember just hosing my words off the concrete at that point, and I could start again. So that also showed the power of the words, but also the control over what is written. And I'm a great believer in that, and it's helped me with the facilitating writing words, so to be able to encourage writers to think of ways in which they can protect and control their own work.
Yeah, and you took to writing on the walls as well, is that right?
Oh, well, yes, I did, and that was when I do remember the context very strongly. I was 12 at that point last year at primary school. Mum was in hospital for 6 weeks during the winter. When Mum went to hospital, Dad often took on a project on the weekends, and I assisted him in his projects, and he loved painting and touching things up and daubing a bit of dew-up on this, that, and the other. So there were lints off the paint pots all over the house. And I think we had a sense of relief when Mum was in hospital. The intensive caring had finished for that time. So we had an intermittent break, and I would make Dad a rainbow cake. See, I loved the colours, the dabbling in colours, and he would eat this during this afternoon tea, and we'd look at the work he'd done. And I remember on this occasion, the dining room wall had been painted just a pretty chartreuse green, sort of a soft green with a bit of lime in it. And he got to finish the third wall, and I said, can I use up some of those pots of the other paint and do something on the fourth, the other wall, Dad, save you having to do it. He agreed. Happily, and I did this mural for a copying from a history book I had there at the house, a glossy print of the French Revolution. Very gory one, it was. But it had a protective. I think I saw in that picture I drew was there was a woman at the top of the stairs in her nightdress. Often Mum was taken off dead of night or whatever, you know. And a child waving her skirts. So perhaps I saw myself there. And down the stairs protecting the family was this man, this guardian angel, I suppose, I was looking for, the Red Chevalier. And he just in his red velvet and his buckles, and he had his sword up. And then we were the revolution to the bottom, trying to get up the steps. And a huge amount covered the wall. So I did use plenty of red paint, both for the Red Chevalier's outfit and for the blood on the swords.
Yes. So how did that help you with your caring role? I mean, you were having a holiday from it at the time, and so was it a chance to reflect? Was it, was it cathartic?
Well, I do like that Greek word, cathartic. It's got such a good sound to it. It's not a magic word. I think then I started to think about, even started to think about metaphors, about what, what could stand for something else. And we were looking for guardians, we were looking for... But for me, yes, let's get back to the... it was an expression of my feelings, intense feelings, and in there must have been what's going to happen to us next, who's looking after our family, who's our guardians. And I was able to express that very strongly on the wall. The fact that I had taken it from a history book meant that nobody could put too fine a point on it if they didn't want to. Dad had encouraged me to love history, so there we go. And the fact that we sat around eating leg of hoggart on a Sunday and roast potatoes at that table and a rice pudding with that huge gory thing, it was fascinating, but we just learned to live because it was all again the familiar thing and nobody worried. But we were in a rented house and the landlord, when it came to it, we had to paint that over, of course, when we left that house. So again, the ability to erase something doesn't have to be forever, and I do encourage carers to think that way when writing or drawing or playing a piece of music or making a piece of pottery. We working with clay, that you can change things. It can always be changed to keep that control over the clay and that sort of thing. But yes, it was a fantastic, a sense of relief, a sense of creative play. I think I pricked my little sister's finger at one point to provide a tiny drop of blood for something real on the sword. You know, that's a sort of thing a sister may do to her younger sister instead of bringing her own finger. So, yes, it was a good outlet, let's put it that way. An outlet, and it had a sustaining power about it. I think the staying power, we need to feel we can do things that keep us going, that build resilience. I think it did all of those things.
about a creative artist, so it's an expression